Sorry to announce that Elizabeth Phillips's funeral will be held on Wednesday, that's this Wednesday, at Macclesfield Crematorium at 12:15. Ladies' Fellowship will be held on Monday, Thursday, as it's Easter week. And you will have noticed that there are various Easter collection envelopes being handed out. These are to collect money for the World Mission Fund. And if you would like to put a cheque in, please could you write the cheque to Poynton Methodist Church rather than the charity. I just want to run through the services that will be occurring next week. There is a notice about them, but there will be the usual Wednesday service. Then on Thursday, which is Monday, Thursday, there will be a Holy Communion at 10:30. A service on Good Friday at 10:30, and then on Easter Sunday, there will be a traditional communal service at 9 o'clock, and then a more informal communion service at 10:30. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship. I don't know how many of you are surprised to see me here, but you won't be as surprised as I am. It's 2 years since I actually stood in front of a congregation, 2 years since I actually led worship. And I won't say I was press-ganged into this, but when Mandy says to you, "Are you up for it?" dare you refuse? The answer is probably no. Can I just ask, has everybody been told what the teardrops are for? Should they have been told, Mandy? Not right, so we're okay. You should have a palm cross and a teardrop. Just a few moments of silence before we start worshipping. Nick Fawcett is one of Mandy's and my favourite Christian writers. And so for our call to worship, I'm going to read a few words from Nick Fawcett. Palm Sunday is one of the enigmas in the Christian calendar. It speaks of joy and celebration and of worshipping Jesus as the King of Kings. And yet, of course, it leads us into the events of Holy Week, the memory of sorrow and suffering and finally death on a cross. We cannot think of one without the other. And any talk of the majesty of Jesus must be understood in the light of all that followed. The one we serve came to serve others. The Lord of life endured the darkness of death. The way to the throne involved the costly path of sacrifice. It's easy enough to sing Christ's praises and acknowledge him as Lord. It's a different matter to take up our cross and follow him. Yet that is the homage he asks of us and the challenge that this day brings. As we offer today our glad hosannas, let us ask ourselves if we're ready also to offer ourselves in service. So we're going to sing two hymns. First of all, Singing the Faith 264, which is Make Way. And then we'll follow that with Singing the Faith 263, Hosanna, Hosanna. The first hymn acknowledges that triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the second reminds us that Jesus is always Lord, that Jesus is always there, and that we should acknowledge and exalt that every day. Thank you.
He comes the broken hearts to heal.
Might have noticed I turned forgetting that we had the second hymn, but not to worry. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you had no interest in serving yourself, only in serving others. You did not desire your own glory, only the glory of him who sent you. And because of that, God has highly exalted you, giving you the name that is above every name. Teach us today the true nature of kingship, of service and authority. And so help us to honour you as you desire, through loving God with heart, mind and soul, and loving our neighbour as ourselves. So may we build your kingdom until you return in glory and gather all things to yourself. Amen. And Bernie is going to read to us from Luke.
The readings from Luke 19, 28 to 40. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Amen.
Thank you. Have you ever thought how the owners of that colt might have felt? How would you feel if somebody went into your backyard and removed some of your property? You may be surprised, as one of the witnesses tells us how it really was.
"Hello," I thought, "what's going on here?" And you can hardly blame me, for there I was, minding my own business, when suddenly these fellows I've never clapped eyes on appeared from nowhere and, cool as you like, started to make off with our donkey. In broad daylight, too, that's what I couldn't get over, as bold as brass, without so much as a by your leave. Well, you can imagine my surprise, can't you? Hardly the kind of goings-on you expect in a quiet village like ours. So I asked them straight, "What's your game?" And that's when they spoke these special words, "The Lord needs it." Not the fullest of explanations, admittedly, but it was all I needed, for straight away it all came flooding back, that day when Jesus came by. And for a wonderful few moments I met him face to face. Now, you won't have heard about it, for it wasn't the sort of encounter to hit the headlines. No stunning healing or unforgettable miracle needed in my case. But he touched my life as surely and wonderfully as any, offering a new direction, a fresh start from which I've never looked back. Quite simply, he changed my life, and though I'm not the sort to shout it from the rooftops, I wanted to respond nonetheless, to show Jesus how much he meant to me, how much I valued what he'd done. This was it, the chance I'd been waiting for, my opportunity to give something back at last. Hardly earth-shattering stuff, I grant you, the loan of a donkey, but that didn't matter. The fact was that Jesus had need of me. It was all I needed to know. He arrived soon after, and I followed him to Jerusalem, where the crowds were waiting to greet him, wild with excitement, shouting their praises, throwing down their cloaks in welcome. And, small though it had been, I knew I'd done my bit to make that great day possible. Never forget, whoever you are, however little you think you have to offer, for some day, sometime, your moment will come. A day when your contribution to his kingdom will be requested in those lovely words, "The Lord needs it."
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you. Let us just for a moment reflect on the last few words that Steve read to us there. Never forget that whoever you are, however little you think you have to offer, for some day, sometime, your moment will come. A day when your contribution to his kingdom will be requested in those lovely words, "The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it." We sing again, "Sing in the Faith," 664. "Lord, you call us to your service, each in our own way." Thank you.
Lord, you call us to your service, each in our own way. Some to love and healing, some to preach or pray.
Bernie is going to read to us again. Thank you.
Continuing reading from Luke 19, 41 to 44. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming." And let us not forget that Jesus had wept over Jerusalem on a previous occasion when he said in Luke 13, verse 34, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Amen.
The Mount of Olives is mentioned in both the Old and the New Testaments and was the location of many biblical events. We know that several key events in the life of Jesus took place there. But what would it be like to be there? To walk where Jesus walked, to experience the steepness of the hill, the heat and the dust. We're very fortunate today that we have in our midst a modern day pilgrim who will tell us about her experiences.
It's no secret that I've been to Israel 4 times. I just love it. To go on a pilgrimage, to forget everything else and just concentrate on the story of Jesus and his challenges is life-changing. I wonder how you imagine the Mount of Olives. Do you imagine a gentle slope, a steep hill? You're coming down the Mount of Olives onto the Kidron Valley at the bottom, and then you go up the other side to the main part of Jerusalem. That's how steep it is. All I could concentrate on was putting one foot in front of the other, so that I didn't go flying down the hill. It really is steep. Obviously, there's a road there now that traffic can go on. What the path was like in Jesus' time, I don't know, but I imagine it was steep. It must have been. Either it was steep or it was windy, one of the two. And you get glimpses of Jerusalem in the distance. Richard, can you rescue me, please? Can you just go back one, please? Or I can. Yeah, that's it. You get glimpses in the background. There are the walls of Jerusalem. And then that's where we're heading, this church here. So you're going down the hill, and all of a sudden you go through a gateway to the right, and thank the Lord, the road is flat. And you've got chance then to look into Jerusalem. And the first thing you notice are the ancient tombs, the graves. Notice they don't have flowers on them. They put stones on their graves. Stones will last far longer than flowers, won't they? And then you look across. The wall of Jerusalem, the golden gate where Jesus would have entered Jerusalem, now bricked up, unfortunately. The Dome of the Rock, the Muslim temple, but that's where the Jewish temple would have been. And it would have been possibly three times bigger, three times wider. It would also have been golden topped and probably made of white marble. It must have been an absolutely beautiful sight. There's the Alaska Mosque that you sometimes hear about. Pinnacle of the temple where they nearly threw Jesus down. Oh, no, where the devil said he might throw Jesus down. It's a fascinating view. But this is what you've turned off the path for. Dominus Flavit, the Lord wept. Don't know whether I'm pronouncing that quite right, or I'm getting a nod from somebody who knows. Can you see that the church designed by Antonio Barluzzi is in the shape of a tear? And on the sides of it are stone jars. These would have been much smaller and would have been used to collect the tears of the mourners. Those jars would then have been put in the graves. But this is where Jesus stood and wept over Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. That's the window we're going to look through. It faces Jerusalem. There it is. Antonio Barluzzi has designed many churches in Israel. He doesn't put stained glass windows in where he doesn't need them. Why hide that view? But look what he's put round it. A vine. A crown of thorns, a chalice, and bread. It's absolutely beautiful. You can just see the altar here. And on the side of the altar, sort of down there, is this. The hen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. I don't think anybody left that church without shedding a tear. And then we were challenged. Standing here, what do you weep about? And that's my challenge to you. Right now, what would you weep about? Some things are obvious, aren't they? I'm sure Jesus would be weeping over Gaza and the West Bank, Jerusalem. His home country. I'm sure he would be weeping over the Ukraine, as we do, and Russia, and those terrible events in Russia yesterday. What about the South Sudan? I mean, the list can go on and on, can't it? We have compassion for all those in poverty, including people in this country. I'm sure Richard's thinking, what about the environment? Do we weep about that? And then, of course, there are personal issues. So I invite you in the silence to write on your teardrop, if you can find a pen. If not, just imagine you're writing on it. And name what you are weeping about. And we're going to put them on the Christmas tree. Have you noticed there is a Christmas tree in church? We're going to put them on there, and they'll stay there all week until we change the symbols on Easter Day, when we trust in Christ to redeem his world. So in the silence, who are you weeping for? My song is love unknown.
And for his death they thirst.
makes this rage and spite. He made Valen to run, he gave the blind their sight. Sweet injuries, yet they at these themselves displease and against him rise.
Some writers suggest that our next witness was a man of mystery, and he was indeed known by several different names. But what is without doubt was his fervent love and support for Jesus, his and our Lord and Saviour. We hear testimony from Simon the Zealot.
You should have heard him. What a noise! What a sight! What a welcome! I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it in all my born days, and there's an increasing number of them. We've had kings here, governors, would-be messiahs, and they've all had their moments. The fans have been out to greet them. But nothing like this. Nowhere near it. They came in their thousands wanting to meet him. Men, women, children, yanking branches off the trees, tearing off the cloaks, carpeting the road before him. Their voices hoarse with shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was treason, of course. It was probably heresy too. But no one cared. Devil take the consequences. There was a time for rejoicing. And rejoice we did. Yet if that was unusual, the abandonment, the jubilation, there were stranger things to follow. For just a few days later, less than a week in fact, the scene was so very, very different. The same people, by and large, once more part of a crowd. But this time there was not love in their faces, but hatred. There was not a warm welcome but cold rejection. Not waving hands, but shaking fists. Not Hosanna to the Son of David, but we have no king but Caesar. I wouldn't have believed it possible if I hadn't seen it for myself. But the sad fact is that I not only saw it in my own way, I was a part and a cause of the whole sorry business. For when the crisis came, I was found wanting. I was concerned to save my own skin and had no thought for his. It was a chilling lesson, one that I, like so many others, learned the hard way. The lesson that it is so much easier to call someone a king than it is to actually serve them.
Thank you, Richard. We come now to our prayers of intercession, and there is a response. When I say, we welcome Jesus, could you please respond with, we welcome the King. We welcome Jesus. We welcome the King. We welcome a time of hope and peace. As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when peace will be the foundation and the aim of all nations. We look to the leaders of nations, factions, armies, and dictatorships where peace is not present, and we call them to respond to the suffering, to the heartache around them, by negotiating and bringing peace. Among other places, we remember Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, North Korea, Haiti, Sudan, and Russia. God of all, you made everything and everyone. We pray that people will respond to your desire for all to live lives of peace and that hope would defeat harm. We pray for all those whose families, lives and futures have been destroyed by war and conflict, by acts of terrorism. We pray, Lord, that Point and Rotary Club will receive lots of donations as they support One Project Ukraine. We welcome Jesus. We welcome the King. We welcome a time of love and care. As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when love and care are the foundation for all that we do. We give thanks for those in caring professions and those who look after others. God of all, you call all people who are willing to hear. We pray for our health professionals, for education staff, for parents and carers. We pray that they would be encouraged and strengthened in these times of tight budgets and lack of resources. We remember children and young people who may be facing worries and challenges. And we ask for your help for all who are struggling because of physical or mental health. May they and all in need feel your comfort and healing. And we bring to mind those people and those things that we offered up on our teardrops, those things that we weep for. We welcome Jesus. We welcome the King. We welcome a time of safety and well-being. As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when all will feel safe, will feel protected, and will be well. We ask that those who cause harm through bullying, through abuse, through internet stalking, and through cruel messaging may repent of the pain and damage they have caused. God of all, you created us to live in safety. We pray for the police, the criminal justice system, and for all who work to protect others and who investigate those who cause harm. We pray for laws to be used wisely so young and old alike can live free of fear of abuse and bullying. We pray for those who lead and set examples to young people that they will be wise in showing the risks of social media. We welcome Jesus. We welcome the King. We welcome a time of life and growth. As we look forward to God's kingdom, we hope for a time when all will be full of the enjoyment of life and will grow in faith in you. We look to those who lead us in church, in our country, and our neighbourhoods. We ask that they would work to keep people safe and happy, and that they would have the wisdom to spend limited money wisely. God of all, you give us all we need. We pray for our government and parliament as they use scarce resources, plan budgets, and work out how to spend money for the benefit of the nation. We pray for local elections in a few weeks and the campaigning that has just started. We remember our church leaders here and in this area and ask that they would work together across denominations to bring the life and growth that can be found in Jesus to our friends and neighbours. We welcome Jesus. We welcome the King. We welcome our life and our calling. As we look forward to God's kingdom and remember that amazing journey into Jerusalem, we look to ourselves. May each one of us, young and old, know the love of God through the gift of Jesus, the power of God through Jesus' death, and the joy of God through his resurrected life. God of each one of us, you know all we are and all we need. We pray for ourselves. May we hear your call on our lives and do all we can to share your love and your kingdom with others. Let us never forget that whoever we are, however little we think we have to offer, for some day, sometime, our moment will come. A day when our contribution to his kingdom will be requested in those lovely words, "The Lord needs it." Amen. Right, now this next bit may just get a bit complicated, so we need to work together. We're going to have two hymns, but they will be split by a prayer and sharing the grace together. So our first hymn is 362, Meekness and Majesty. Then we'll have the prayer and the shared grace. And then as we turn to the events of Holy Week, we will sing 265, Ride On, Ride in Majesty. And then I'm going to ask you to sit down again, please. Thank you. Have we got that? Are we all right?
We're all right.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humanity, and washes our feet. Meekness and majesty.
To remain standing, but before we go to the prayer, can I just thank the music group and thank everybody that's taken part today, the witnesses, and thank Mandy and David up there. Thank you for putting it together, Mandy. Thank you very much, and for witnessing. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, servant of all, friend of all, saviour of all, ruler of all, receive our worship. To you be glory and honour, praise and thanksgiving this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. And let's share the grace. Let's turn and share the grace to each other.
Grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
And then our final hymn, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. To sit down. Thank you.
Thank you. I have an announcement from Reverend Dr. Graham Edwards, who is the Superintendent Minister of the Macclesfield Circuit. And this comes from the Circuit Leadership Team. On Wednesday, the 13th of March, the Circuit Invitation Committee met with Reverend Ros Watson to consider her request that her appointment in the Macclesfield Circuit be curtailed. It is with sadness that the committee has agreed the request be improved, meaning Ros will officially end her appointment in the Macclesfield Circuit on the 31st of August 2024, and has been given permission by the Presbyterial Session of Synod in the Manchester and Stockport District to sit down, which means retire, from active ministry in the Methodist Church on that date. Ros has been a valued colleague as she has shared in ministry across the life of the circuit, and we are grateful for her wisdom, pastoral heart, and faithful preaching of the gospel. However, while Ros has always felt strongly called to pastoral ministry, she has felt that as the number of churches in her pastoral charge has increased, with a commensurate increase in administration, the amount of time she can give to pastoral ministry has been eroded. This imbalance and long working hours have caused levels of stress, which mean that Ros feels continuing in this current pattern of ministry is now unsustainable. Please feel free to speak to the Superintendent Minister, Reverend Dr. Graham Edwards, if you have any further questions. But please understand that our main concern is that we support Ros as she prepares to move into a new phase of life and ministry. Can I also add to this that Judy Gibbons is our representative on the invitation committee, and she is on hand this morning if anybody would like to ask her questions. Thank you.
I think the only thing we can do now is to pray. Simple as that. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we weep for Ros's stress. Will you be very close to her in the days to follow? We know it won't be easy to lead worship here or in the circuit under the circumstances. But we trust that you will be with her and you will give her the words to say. Be with Chris, her husband, too, at this time. We pray for Graham, with all the added responsibility he now has. Give him your wisdom as to see the way ahead. We pray for the circuit stewards, for the chairman of the district, that they will find the right solution for us as a church. We pray for our own stewards, for Christine and Anne. For the added responsibilities that they will face. And we pray again and again that people will step forward to help them. We need more stewards, Lord. Stir the hearts of those who are capable. But we've been reminded in this service that we all have a part to play, however small. We can all pray. We can all show compassion and love and support. So be with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to look again at the services that we are going to provide this Holy Week. And I say again, please, may all your words be kind ones to Ros, to each other, to people outside. Let's show again what a compassionate congregation we are. Thank you.